Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, over €36 million in funding to improve and maintain roads in Donegal has been welcomed. The Cán Comhairle was forced to intervene earlier as Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty accused the Taoiseach of being dishonest. A man has died following a crash in Derry in the early hours of Sunday morning. And a Donegal deputy has told the Marine Minister that fishermen and fishing communities have been shafted by successive governments. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First in news this evening, over €36 million has been allocated to improve and maintain roads in Donegal. The funding will go towards roads repair, bridge rehabilitation, road safety measures, community engagement and drainage improvements. The largest allocation in the county, €1.5 million, has been earmarked for works at Fincher Bridge. €25,000 has been announced for works on the N15 and €50,000 for the Letterkenny Southern Relief Road. Councillor Patrick McGowan says the monies will go a long way in flood damage repair works particularly.
Drumcannon and Drumfergus of Kelly Garden, there's 90,000 done for that there. There's several houses damaged up there. That road was washed away, but it's been ongoing now for 5, 6, 7 years. Like, so that's actually welcome. Them kind of jobs is urgently needed, because there's no point in tying roads if they're going to continually flood it and damage, you know, some immediately. So look, any money at all to the county, and hopefully maybe before the year's out that there'll be a top up. This is kind of a frequent occurrence now. You get a big announcement now, say 30 odd million, and then later on the year then you get a top up then on their different heavens. But particularly for the people in that area that have been sort of, every time it rains now, they're sort of out at night with sandbags, and I said it was well covered in your own show, so I do, there's 90,000 to that. And all the other money right across RMD and across the county, you can't but welcome money when you get it, and I know it'll be well spent.
Meanwhile, 14 climate change adaptation projects will share the Donegal allocation. One of those is for culvert works in Dunfanaghy. Cathaoirleach of the Glenties Municipal District, Councillor Michael McLafferty, while welcoming the funding, says much more is needed.
There's 50,000 there for culvert for Dunfanaghy, so we very much welcome that. Something, obviously, we've had flooding issues and that down there, and I hope now this will go some. It'll go some part of the way. It won't solve everything, but at least it'll go some initial part of the way anyway on the problems down there in Dunfanaghy. At least if you get one aspect done alone, it's better than getting no aspect done. My other colleagues there in the Glenties know there as well from their own different areas that issues going on. We have bridges tumbled, we have bridges broken, we have culverts problem. Well, there's one culvert problem in Dunfanaghy. Hopefully we'll get resolved now when we get at it for this particular place. But there is more issues in Dunfanaghy and regards to flooding relief.
The Cán Comhairle was forced to intervene earlier today as Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty accused the Taoiseach of being dishonest. Deputy Doherty called for greater transparency and accountability as it emerged a senior RTE executive was handed a €450,000 exit package. Last night, a Sinn Féin motion calling for the TV licence fee to be scrapped was defeated in the Dáil. The party also wanted an amnesty from prosecution for those who haven't paid the fee. Micheál Martin told Deputy Doherty that the proposal was a slap in the face.
You didn't mention, let alone budget for, your plan to scrap
the license
fee. You did not.
We did. There's a contingency fund of over 800 million.
That would cost in excess of 150 million. And the other point I would make, Deputy,
media.
The other fundamental problem with the amnesty proposal is that the hundreds of thousands down through the years who paid their license fee, I mean, it's an incredible insult to them. Fools you are to pay is what you're saying to them. And basically, what does that mean for other bills that people pay? What you're really saying to people, don't bother paying your bills. Don't pay any kind of...
Who's dishonest now? Who's dishonest now?
That is
who's
what dishonest you're saying. Because you know what?
And you won't answer the question
we
about accountability.
We will look after you in the end of the day. That's what you're saying. And we don't have to provide for that. We don't have to provide for that in alternative budgets.
The only person who's held accountable is the mother who can't pay her TV licence.
I think for those who paid their licence fees over the years, Deputy,
that
was an incredible slap in the face. And you've basically...
You know what's a slap in the face? €450,000. That's the slap in the face.
Sorry. You've basically...
Would you please respect the orders of the House? Tarnish, the time is up.
I just want to finally say... What you've basically said to the Irish people is, why bother pay any bill?
No, that's completely and utterly dishonest.
Deputy,
completely and utterly dishonest.
Deputy.
And you have nothing to
Deputy.
Say on accountability.
Stormont leaders have taken the first major step in giving pay rises to public sector workers. It follows the first down-to-business meeting of the North's new executive today, where it was agreed almost £700 million will be allocated to settling pay claims. Strikes in Northern Ireland in recent months have caused huge disruption. The North's Finance Minister, Caoimhe Archibald, believes discussions with unions can now get underway.
This is a really good day for our public sector workers who've had to wait too long for their pay award, for our healthcare workers, our teachers, our police, our civil servants, and it will enable negotiations to begin immediately with trade unions.
The Ballyshannon Community Hospital could open next week. Fianna Mó has confirmed that proposals have been issued to enhance clinical governance and staffing levels in the facility in line with what members were seeking. The €37.6 million facility was to have opened this week but hasn't done so because the INMO and SIPTU claim planned staffing levels and clinical governance models would pose a risk to staff and patients. A ballot on the proposals will now take place on Monday and if accepted, the new community hospital will open on Tuesday. Councillor Micheál Nocton hopes that patients can move into the facility in the coming days.
From speaking with senior management in the last number of days, they have confirmed to me that they hope to open the Shield Hospital in Ballyshannon on Tuesday, the 20th of February. That now we all know basically this has been long overdue, and that means there was false dawns basically at the end of last year, and then we got a date of the 12th of February. But now, as of today, we can confirm that next Tuesday, the 20th, hopefully the new Shield Hospital in Ballyshannon will open. And I do know basically there was issues in relation to the INO, but basically they took their case to the WRC, and that, and basically the WRC found in favour with the HSE. So basically, I hope this issue is resolved, and for the betterment of South Donegal, Ballyshannon and the North West region, that basically everyone can work together for the betterment. We have 37 million of a new hospital here, and it's very important that we get these patients in. There's 26 patients there ready to move across into it, and hopefully next Tuesday these patients will get moved across and the hospital can move forward in a positive note.
And as you say, this facility is much needed in the area, and it will indeed alleviate a lot of pressure throughout the whole of Donegal.
Exactly. I mean, we have 80 new bedrooms here, and I mean 52 are long stay, 20 are short stay, and there's 8 dementia rooms. So, I mean, this is huge, basically, for this region. I mean, there's a huge amount of families that are waiting for this to open, waiting for their loved ones to get moved in here. And as I said, for Ballyshannon and for South Donegal, but not alone that, but also North Sligo and in the North West region, it is a huge day. And, it's positive. Like, we've spent 37 million here. We have one of the top arts facilities in South Donegal here now, and it's the most that is open for the betterment of the general public.
A man has died following a crash in Derry in the early hours of Sunday morning. Investigations are continuing into the collision involving a pedestrian and black Volkswagen Golf on the Strand Road at around 1:40 a.m. Police are appealing to anyone who was travelling in the area at the time or who has any CCTV, dash cam or mobile phone footage to contact them. A former Letterkenny Garda sergeant claims the drastic reduction in foot patrols in the town is resulting in an increase in antisocial behaviour. The Gaherlock of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District, Councillor Kevin Bradley this week, called for a meeting with Community Gardaí to address antisocial behaviour and underage drinking. Christy Galligan told today's 9 till noon show that Donegal County Council also has a role to play.
We had targeted approaches here in Letterkenny years ago. When I was here in Letterkenny, we had Gardaí on patrol every day, and a lot of the areas where there was antisocial behaviour and that things what you're talking about. Unfortunately, we have seen diminution or reduction in the number of foot patrols that are taking place. We have community patrols per se, but they're not on the same level as we had maybe 10 to 12 years ago or more. And that's another factor that has to be looked at. Where are the numbers of members that we have now that should be out on patrols, knowing their local areas, knowing their local businesses, shopkeepers, all of the information that we can gather. But we also need, after that is all said and done, we need also other interventions where we can say to young people, look, how does it affect their family, individuals and the wider community, and what can we do to help those as well? Is there enough investment? I mean, the Donegal County Council, I'm sure, could also invest in those community, and I'm sure they have, but we could look at those interventions where young people who are straying into those aspects of antisocial behaviour, that we can move them away from that and make them more productive members of society.
A Donegal deputy has told the Marine Minister that fishermen and fishing communities have been shafted by successive governments. Deputy Thomas Pringle expressed his concerns over the future of the industry while questioning Minister Charney McConlogue in the Dáil this afternoon. He says the decline in fishing is a major blow for Killybegs.
Each year in the last two decades, the season has gotten progressively shorter. We are at a stage now where fishermen are lucky to get a couple of weeks' work before Christmas and a few weeks after as well. This has, of course, had a significant impact, negative impact on a once thriving community because it took a whole town to build and contribute to a successful fishing industry. The entire town is now taking the hit for this decline, with every family affected. And this is at the hands of successive Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael governments, as well as successive Donegal ministers as well. And you can imagine how frustrating it must be for our fishermen to see other communities thrive off and overfish in our waters without any punishment, while Irish boats struggle to get a minuscule quota. How maddening it would be to realise that the EU are in talks to give even further access to our waters to non-EU members while Irish livelihoods are at stake. And how utterly devastating it would be for your government to stand by this, to allow this to happen and to look fishermen in the eye and promise them the world, while at the same time they've been shafted in Europe. Successive ministers of the Marine, unfortunately, have allowed our industry to die out while other countries thrive off our waters. We make up 12% of all fishing grounds and waters in the Union, and we contribute massively but get almost nothing in return. No other European country and no other European minister would accept this. So why have we accepted it for so long? The government's mistreatment of fishermen dates back to Ireland's negotiations to join the EU in the Common Fisheries Policy, and I've raised the fundamental issue of the Common Fisheries Policy numerous times over the last decade.
Well, in response, Minister Charney McConlogue admitted that the harbour town has been severely impacted by Brexit.
As I said to you before, I've always found it ironic. I remember being on a debate on Highland Radio with yourself, locked in arm with MP Gregory Campbell, both advocating that Northern Ireland and the UK should leave and do Brexit. And I've always found it ironic that the place that's most impacted by that decision as they went, not that you influenced them, but that they went ahead and did that, the town that is most impacted by Brexit in all of our country and probably in Europe potentially is Killybegs. So in terms of the Brexit Adjustment Reserve funding, I've put €33 million into Killybegs over the last 2 years through various schemes, through the processing sector, for example, €12 million to the processing sector through grants into Killybegs alone. I think it was 6 million or more than that, €8 million was it in relation to the pelagic liquidity scheme as well. €33 million into Killybegs through the Brexit Adjustment Reserve. Separate to that, also over the last 3-4 years since I've been minister, I've invested €33 million in Killybegs. Separate to that, other €33 million in terms of extending the Smooth Point Pier Harbour there with another €5 million into it this year. But there's no doubt it has taken an impact. And that's something I very much recognise, and it's something I've organised a meeting myself there tonight as well, obviously to go and to talk to all stakeholders and to see how we can make sure that the town can go forward and that we can support it through the challenge of Brexit.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic Games, and Ulster GAA have confirmed work on the redevelopment of Belfast Casement Park will begin next week. Initial work will focus on groundworks, and that will be followed by a site clearance up until June. Casement is one of 10 grounds set to hold matches at Euro 2028. Moving on to soccer, and the Republic of Ireland women's squad for the upcoming friendlies with Italy and Wales later this month has been finalised. Boss Eileen Gleeson has handed a recall to Amber Barrett. The Donegal native wasn't part of the squad for the Nations League wins over Hungary and Northern Ireland in December. St Johnstone's Tyler Tolan is named among the midfielders. Defenders Niamh Fahey and Aoife Mannion, midfielder Jess Zhu and forward Leanne Kiernan have all been included in the 26-player squad after recovering from long-term injuries. And there's a first call-up for Wake Forest University forward Emily Murphy, who qualifies through her Dublin-born father. The girls in green head to Florence to face Italy on Friday, February the 23rd, followed by the clash with Wales in the Tallaght Stadium on Tuesday the 27th. A consultation workshop between the FAI and the soccer leagues of the county will be held this evening in the Radisson Blue Hotel in Letterkenny. Included on the agenda and as part of the football pathway plan All affiliated leagues would move to summer football in the calendar year, just like the League of Ireland. The Donegal and Inishowen junior leagues have turned down this option previously, but it seems the governing body wants to implement summer football across all levels of Irish football. This proposal is again expected to be met with stiff opposition this evening. The FAI also wants to see the establishment of 8 regional football associations with an enlarged pyramid beneath the League of Ireland. In other news, Galway United have apologised unreservedly for any offence caused by a recent social media post. The image shared online showed Galway United player Ed McCarthy holding a stop sign while the song Murder on the Dance Floor played. In 2020, McCarthy was given a 2-year suspended sentence after he pleaded guilty to dangerous driving, causing the death of a father of two. Elsewhere, Sligo Rovers, they've confirmed the loan signing of striker Max Mata ahead of the new season in the League of Ireland. The New Zealand-born international returns to the showgrounds, having moved to Shrewsbury Town last year. Mata won't be eligible for tomorrow's clash with Bohemians, but could receive international clearance in time for the meeting with Derry City next week. On the pitch tonight, there's 16 matches taking place in the Europa League and Conference League knockout round playoffs. The pick of the second tier competition sees AC Milan hosting Rennes, while Feyenoord, they host Roma. And in the Conference, Ajax, they entertain Bodo Glimt, and Dinamo Zagreb, they're at Real Betis. In a piece of other news, Roy Hodgson's Crystal Palace press conference has been cancelled amid rumours he's on the verge of losing his job as manager. The club say his media briefing is off after the former England boss was taken ill during training this morning. With Palace just 5 points above the Premier League's relegation zone, ex-Eintracht Frankfurt manager Oliver Glasson's been linked with a move to replace Hodgson at Selhurst Park. In swimming, Mona McSherry described her 200 metres breaststroke heat win at the World Aquatics Championship as her best morning swim ever. The Sligo woman and teenager John Short have both booked their place in the semi-finals of their respective events in Doha today. McSherry, who came agonisingly short of a medal in the 100 metres breaststroke final earlier this week, was ranked second overall. In rugby, Gary Ringrose could feature for Ireland in their Six Nations clash with Wales on Saturday week. The Leinster centre returned to training today, having missed the opening 2 matches with a shoulder injury. Hugo Keenan didn't take part in today's session as he recovers from the knee problem picked up in last Sunday's win over Italy. And Leinster-bound lock RG Snyman will form a second-row partnership with Thomas Ahern for Munster's trip to Scarlets. Fullback Mike Healy also makes his return for the URC clash after a 5-month absence since undergoing hip injury. Moving on to golf, and Tiger Woods returns to competitive golf inside the next hour. The 15-time major champion tees off at the Genesis Invitational in California very shortly. Seamus Power is in the early stages of his first round, while Rory McIlroy, he tees off shortly before 8 o'clock this evening. And Leona Maguire has carded an opening round of 4 over par 76 on day 1 of the Saudi Ladies International. The Cavan native's 10 shots off the leader, Paddy Tavitanikit. And in snooker, Aaron Hill is out of the Welsh Open. The Cork native lost to China's Fan Shiji by 4-1 in their second round clash earlier today. And finally, for this evening, this week on the score after the 7 o'clock news, Oisin Kelly has a League of Ireland preview with 2 former Finn Harps captains, Declan Boyle and Keith Cowan, while Chris Ashmore, he talks with title chasing Institute boss Kevin Deary. That's the score after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. For weather now, mostly cloudy this evening with isolated showers and some patches of mist and hill fog. Lowest temperatures tonight of 4 to 6 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. Over €36 million has been allocated to improve and maintain roads in Donegal. The funding will go towards roads repair, bridge rehabilitation, road safety measures, community engagement and drainage improvements. The Ballyshannon Community Hospital could open next week. The INMO has confirmed that proposals have been issued to enhance clinical governance and staffing levels in the facility in line with what members were seeking. A man has died following a crash in Derry in the early hours of Sunday morning. Investigations are continuing into the collision involving a pedestrian and black Volkswagen Golf on the Strand Road at around 1:40 a.m. And a former Letterkenny Garda sergeant claims the drastic reduction in foot patrols in the town is resulting in an increase in antisocial behaviour. The Cathaoirleach of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District this week called for a meeting with Community Gardaí to address antisocial behaviour and underage drinking. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Good evening.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up shortly, we'll hear about the AgriAware Farm Walk and Talk series, which this year will include a Donegal venue. I've been speaking with AgriAware's Executive Director, Marcus O'Halloran, who is a former Donegal IFA County Development Officer. Firstly, in news, Teagasc, Donegal IFA and the Irish Cattle Breeding Federation are organising a livestock meeting in the Clanry Hotel in Letterkenny this evening at 8 o'clock. Speakers will include Declan Hanrahan, IFA National Livestock Chairman, Sean Coughlin, the Chief Executive of the Irish Cattle Breeding Federation, and Teagasc advisor Tommy Doherty. That's 8 o'clock tonight in the Clanry Hotel in Letterkenny. Well, tomorrow the Wool Council will hold its annual general meeting in Athlone. The Wool Council members include Glenn Swilly, farmer Phelan Molloy, who represents the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association. And speaking of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association, it held a very successful and well-attended Donegal annual general meeting in Jackson's Hotel, Balbuffet, last Friday. The INHFA has five branches in the county, and the new officer board is comprised of the aforementioned Phelan Molloy, who is chair, James Breslin, the vice chair, Sinead Parr, who is secretary, Anne-Marie Leslie, who is assistant secretary, and Shawnee Boyle is the treasurer and development officer. The PRO is James Breslin Jr. Meanwhile, the date has been set for the annual general meeting of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA. It will take place on Monday, March the 4th, in the Clanry Hotel in Letterkenny. And it has been confirmed to Highland Radio that the recently elected president of the IFA, Francie Gorman, will be in attendance and will be one of the guest speakers, along with Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Ogue. AgriAware's popular Farm Walk and Talk series is back for 2024, with second-level students studying agriculture science soon set to walk on farms from Donegal down to Cork. Well, to tell me a little bit more, I'm joined by Marcus O'Halloran, Executive Director of AgriAware, and a man who's no stranger to Donegal. Marcus, tell us a little bit about this series and what it entails.
Hey, Chris, thanks very much for having us. Throughout the month of March and I suppose the last couple of days in February and the last week, we're beginning our Farm Walk and Talk series. We're across, I think, 12 different Teagasc colleges, farms, UCD. We've Tullamore Farm for the Farmers Journal. And what we're doing is we'll be bringing about 4,000 kids that study Leaving Cert Ag Science onto farms. Now, a lot of those would have would take the subject, but may not have ever necessarily been on a farm. So it gives them a chance to put the theory and the practice in the one place, and kind of, you know, to see live action demonstrations as to what it is they're studying about.
And this has been going for a number of years, and I take it it's an evolving process, and you're probably adding on little things each time it comes into being.
Yeah, it's gone on for about 10 to 15 years. And every year we do it, we try to do something different. This year is our first year in Donegal. I'm no stranger to Donegal, as you said yourself, and it was one thing I was conscious of since I came in, that there hadn't been one up there. And, you know, having worked up there before, I'm conscious of the size of some of the schools that are up there and the journeys that they had to take to get to the likes of Ballyhays or Mount Bellew. So it was always something that was in the back of my mind, that if we could at all, that we'd bring Farm Walk and Talk to Donegal.
And Marcus, the venue for the Donegal date, Tuesday, February the 27th, it's a farm of a man well known, particularly in IFA circles, Peter Lynch.
It is, yeah. It's Peter Lynch's farm just outside Newton Cunningham. So Peter's obviously a well-known tillage and dry stock farmer. So we'll have demonstrations on those two topics on the day, as well as around our grassland, our silage, breeding and genetics. We'll have bits and pieces around dairy farming as well. We're looking forward to getting there with good help from Chagas on the day. We have some of our own patrons from Arevo and Chagas, and there'll be one or two other companies there just yet to be confirmed that will be doing talks on the day. It'll be everything from, you know, your grass systems for through to the silage making process. We'll be learning about calf to beef systems. We'll be learning about tillage. We'll be also looking at dairy and breeding and different other bits and pieces like that. So it's around eight different topics students will learn about on the day. But it's to back up that learning that they've already received on the curriculum. It's just so that they can see the practical side of it, or they can actually see the real life visualization of what's going on.
Yeah, and once again, I see that the students will receive a physical copy of the AgriAware Farm Walk and talk, and there's a booklet. So, you know, nothing like being on the ground, so to speak, to actually see something. And from previous years, I take it that the feedback has been hugely positive.
It is hugely positive. Look, we all know it's typical with anything. You can watch all the videos on YouTube in the world, but it's the real-life, hands-on experience are the memories that you'll retain. You know, not everybody that studies like science can retain all the information that's in it, but I suppose having these demonstrations can act as a tool to simplify the understanding of the coursework, and that's what these events are for.
And also, just while you're on, Marcus, just remind us again, for those people who are not familiar, just what AgriAware is all about.
Yeah, so AgriAware was set up in 1996. It was set up by five prominent agribusinesses in the sector, or just based all around the farm centre at the time. So you had FBD, Ornua, IFA, Farmers Journal, and Bobby. So they set it up at that time. At the time, it was to combat the negative narrative around agriculture. So you would have had BSE, Foot and Mouth Foods, soon followed. And there was a disconnect between our distrust and a disconnect or a breakdown of trust maybe between consumer and farmer and food industry. That's never been today. That's no difference. We have the rise of, you know, the anti-animal agriculture brigade. We have the rise of our greenhouse gas emissions and the conscious effort that we need to be active on that front in showing the public the efforts that farmers are actually taking to reduce that on farm. And at farm level, so it's always evolving. The issues are the core issue will always be the same. It's always going to be about ensuring that the general public and the consumer understand the role of the farmer, and that they understand that the work the farmer does in terms of, one, looking after their animals, two, looking after the environment, and, you know, three, trying to look after themselves as well within all of that, while being faced with as price takers, I suppose. All the time in that environment too. But in essence, last year we would have had 8,000 people at on-farm events. We would have had 140,000 people take part in our school programs in the classroom. That was also back from 90,000 pupils that would have taken part online on webinars as well.
And that was AgriAware's Executive Director, Marcus O'Halloran. In other news, farm organisations have given a guarded welcome to the announcement by Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Logue concerning an interim payment under the Acres scheme. IFA President Francie Gorman stated that there has been huge frustration among farmers about the payment delays to date. This year's National Hill Sheep Conference is on this evening in the Glendalough Hotel in County Wicklow, and a number of Donegal personnel expected to be in attendance. The conference will focus on flock health, hill sheep breeding, biodiversity and lessons from the Sustainable Uplands Agri-Environment Project. Finally, we have four copies of Martin O'Sullivan's very informative and easy-to-follow 2024 Handbook and Tax Guide to give away. To be in with a chance of winning, just text 086 817 5194 with your name and contact details. That's 086 817 5194. And we'll give you the names of the lucky winners in next week's programme. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices this Thursday evening, February 15th. The death has taken place of John J.J. Gallagher, Johnny William Bancroft Tallaght, Dublin 24, and formerly of Tully Dunlow, County Donegal, reposing at his home tomorrow evening from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. Removal on Saturday morning to St. Mary's Priory, Tallaght Village arriving for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, burial thereafter in Newlands Cross Cemetery. Donations, if desired, to Irish Lung Fibrosis Association. The death has taken place of Charlie Shields, Tarry, High Glen, Carrigart. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there Saturday morning, going to the Church of St. John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on Meva Parish Facebook page, family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Katie Gallagher, Derry Hathen Downings. Remains reposing at the residence of her sister Mary Gallagher, Dunwell Terman. Removal from there tomorrow morning, going to the Church of St. John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, followed by interment in Umla Old Cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on the Meva Parish Facebook page. The death has occurred of Charlie Coyle, Isle of Doa, Clonmany. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:40 a.m, going to St. Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 10:30, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Charlie's funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Carndonagh Community Hospital, care of any family member or McFeely funeral directors. The death has occurred of Sadie Harkin, Rinboy Fanid and Coatbridge, Scotland. Remains reposing at her residence at Rinboy Fanid. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. in St. Mary's Church, Fanavolte. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Beaumont Hospital, ICU ward, care of any family member or Eamon Scott funeral director. The death has taken place of Nan Donaghy, Neil Logue, 54 Gortilec Road, Dunamana, and formerly of Bonds Glen Cloddy, reposing at her son Seamus Donaghy Holmes, 108 Lisnara Road, Dunamana, this evening from 6 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Killeany, Dunamana at 11 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the Donaghy Parish YouTube channel. The death has occurred of George Peoples, Letbeg, Ballyhearn, Fanid. George's funeral service will be held at Christ the Redeemer Church, Rosnakill, Fanid at 2 p.m. tomorrow afternoon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The funeral service will be streamed live on the McAteer Funeral Director's Facebook page. How strictly private, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice or Parkinson's Ireland, care of any family member or McAteer Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Sister Loretta McKean, Breda, late of Abbey House, Rathfarnham and Fulcara. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. in the Church of the Annunciation, Rathfarnham, followed by burial in Abbey House Cemetery. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.